Now recording. Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast, episode number 129. This is March 1st, everybody.
It's a whole new month.
Did you guys do any fun?
It's the most important month of the year.
Because Patrick's, it's Christopher's birthday.
Correct. That's it.
March 25th. He's going to be, holy shit, you're going to be fucking 50 years old.
That is an accurate factual statement.
Whoa, old man.
What the fuck?
50 years old.
Wow, man. That's awesome. Okay.
This month.
Why are we doing something epic for your 50th?
Yeah, I was going to say, are you doing anything epic for your 50th birthday? We should go to Disneyland and go to Galaxy's Edge.
Is what we should do. Yes, I am doing something epic. You are all absolutely welcome to join me. I am, as Sean has already indicated, that he's in either in April or May. I'm doing a hike to the Colorado River and out in a single day at the Grand Canyon.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
Yep. I'm down.
So that will be on a weekend in April or May. We haven't decided exactly which weekend, but that is what I am doing.
Okay.
For my 50th in terms of epic. But epic. I agree with the Disney.
Yeah, we got to go to Galaxy's Edge.
We should do a day trip.
We got to go to Galaxy's Edge. Can we plan that, please?
We should plan that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Pick a weekend.
We absolutely should.
Yeah.
So we're Brothers for Geeks. My name is Patrick Schmaltz. My two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hi there.
And then Andrew Schmaltz.
Hello.
We talk about geeky things. Lately, we've been talking about Star Trek Picard. We skipped last week because of I was out of town. So we are going to do a double one shot. Or what are we calling this?
two shot.
We're calling this a two shot.
We call it a double sized issue. A double sized issue.
Double sized.
Yeah, because most comic issues are 16 pages or 18 pages. Yes. We're gonna do 36 pages today.
36 like pages of good. Awesomeness.
Very, so prepare very yourself. Good.
We are talking Picard episode 5 and 6. I almost have 4 and 5 because I didn't realize that we had. I mean, they're all kind of blending together for one. That's part of my criticism of they're blending together and like not a lot is happening. So 5 and 6. So if you haven't watched 5 and 6, spoilers.
Stardust City Rag.
Episode 5 is called Stardust City Rag and
the Impossible Box.
Yeah.
Impossible Box. Okay. So.
I'm going to disagree with you from the very top and say
seriously,
lots
Patrick.
Of things are happening. Yes. What are you talking about?
Okay. What show are you watching?
The beginning of episode 5, we see Icheb, not played by the actor who played Icheb, because the actor who played Icheb is a bad person, apparently. I got down that rabbit hole when I looked everybody up. I was like, he looks different. Is that the same guy? Not the same guy.
Okay.
Icheb is from Voyager. They have a relationship with 709, if you remember that. He was like a Borg child that got
freed him from the collective initially.
Yes. And so I will say that
this
I like
flashback. That's the flashback at the very beginning.
That is the flashback at the very beginning. They're torturing Icheb.
Episode 5.
Eye out. There's harvesting Borg
they're
parts.
They're harvesting Borg parts. Clearly. There's a coordinated thing. They're harvesting Borg.
I would say this
episode, almost jarringly so for me, goes hard into the paint with some gruesomeness that unexpected from Star Trek. Not unwelcome, but it is much more gruesome than any Star Trek we've seen before, and it makes sense in the sense that, I mean, the Borg are a gruesome species. Like
they very
implants,
are.
How they look, yeah. They are
well, but
very.
Next Generation was much gentler with regard to. I mean, they extracted stuff from characters who were Borg in Next Generation, But it was much tamer. And even in the movies, it was tamer.
Yeah, this
episode
is gruesome. But I mean,
the most gruesome thing I remember is like the eyeball thing in First Contact, the beginning opening scene. So like they always can go, super gruesome with Borg if you think too hard about it, because it's like metal like digging into your flesh and like they're ripping off your arm and attaching a robot arm to it, dude.
Makes sense. It's the Borg have always made my skin crawl, man. They're just the whole idea 100%, of them 100%. With, you know, and then
it's a great villain.
I mean, if anything came out of Next Gen that was awesome, the two most awesome things are Picard and the Borg.
Space zombie bee people. It's very interesting. It's like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we meet Seven of Nine shows up again. How do we feel about Seven of Nine in this episode?
You know, so the critique of like Seven of Nine, like back in the day was she was just like, they were trying to spice up Voyager with the hotness. She's in a cat suit. She's like very attractive woman. But like, I actually really like the character. She's actually really smart, like photographic memory, like able to do tons of stuff, has all this Borg knowledge in her head. And she was a Borg for most of her life. So she's capable of a lot of stuff. She has tons of knowledge.
She's a very capable character. And, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So I was excited to see her, but like I like a lot of this show, I want her to be in the Federation. I want her to be part of, I wanted her to go follow Janeway's advice and join Starfleet and be part of...
I think the idea, Patrick, I think the main thing that we're encountering with your, you know, with your experience of this show is the Federation and Starfleet are not what they once were.
Which
and
sucks.
That is, I understand. Like but I think they have to have that in order to tell. I like the fact that they're telling a different kind of story. The Federation, you know, ebbs and flows to all kind of powerful government structures throughout history. So I think that the Federation not being, I mean, they've suffered through multiple wars, they've suffered through catastrophes. They are not the Federation.
This is the monolithic
superpower that they may have been before.
This is post Dominion War, and it was like, I mean, a lot of people died in that war. Like,
oh, no, it was catastrophic. And then you know the fact that this terrible catastrophe with the Romulans and the clearly the Federation was trying to help, and they were, and then the Synth rebellion on Mars. So I think that
I'm starting to poke holes in the logic too. Like, and the more I watch, the more I see like the Swiss cheese writing. Like, the Romulan Empire is more than one planet, and they're big and they have tons of ships.
Dude, you're getting
deep. I'm in the weeds.
You're in the weeds, dude. You gotta pull back from this.
I know.
Christopher,
I know.
What was your experience with Seven of Nine in this episode?
I like the character. I think that her evolution, she is not drinking the Kool-Aid on the Federation. She was a reluctant passenger on Voyager.
Yeah.
She was a reluctant sort of, she's definitely independent. I think it's totally in keeping with not being a joiner. Her experience, with the Borg definitely fed the, I'm not going to sign up again for replacement to the collective. The Federation is an element of that. I think the going rogue and part of her evolution is the willingness for her to sign up to be a ranger, whatever the hell that group is.
Yeah.
And then sort of be this vigilante, writing wrongs thing.
In Voyager, she breaks rules and goes.
She
behind.
Does not adhere. I mean that's right. The main point of conflict that exists between her and Janeway so much is it that she's extremely pragmatic. If she feels like she can achieve an end by doing something that would cross some Federation or Starfleet boundaries, she'll do it.
She breaks the rules. She breaks the rules. She's been thrown in the brig in Voyager. Like she does things for the right reasons, like or what she deems is right, you know.
Oh yeah, no, she has her own moral code, and it really boils down to a kind of pragmatism.
Mm-hmm.
My experience with she's so angry in this episode. She's so stoic because in Voyager, she was assimilated when she was a child, so she never matured into adulthood and kind of so she's a very stoic, very very kind of closed off character, and a lot of the series is about her opening up and learning what it means to be human because she never really experienced human adulthood and maturity. I like that, it's 20 years since we've seen her. Jerry Ryan is, 50 years old in real life, and she is, Seven of Nine is a woman who has experienced 20 years of life, being separated from the collective. And she is an angry character in this episode. Like she she is on a quest for revenge. Mm-hmm. And I think that seeing that aspect, I mean, we like to idealize a lot of the stuff.
She's using Picard and his crew quest in order to continue her efforts.
Yes. Yeah. So she has her own agenda, which I think I like the fact that she has her own agenda. She knows and respects Picard. She kind of, but
she thinks he's a hypocrite too. So
I think there's she does think that he's a hypocrite. There is some of that too, but that it's interesting that the theme that they've woven through is, we've got Picard in this legendary status in our brains as fans of the show, and every character or most of the characters that Picard is encountering from his past, he's disappointed in some ways. Like he's let them down by not being the great man that they all need him to be.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And that's a really interesting story to tell for this hero, our hero, our captain, to have to kind of find himself again, being 80 years old, 90 years old, and kind of having this a bit of a death sentence. And he's in a lot of ways, he's finding out who he, who he was and how to get back to, being that kind of, noble person who did the right things and for the right reasons. And, what was the line that he said a couple episodes ago? One impossible thing at a time. I mean, that was Picard. He would figure out how to get the job done and still be, that noble kind of hero that we all loved him to be. So
what do you guys think of like Free Cloud? Do you this planet of whatever it is, really, like lawlessness, I guess, kind of
I imagine it. See, I saw more as like a Vegas, like all things are things are allowed there. It's kind of it's outside the Federation. And it's, it's like a Vegas kind of like,
did you guys ever play Mass Effect at all?
No,
never did.
The scenes on Free Cloud remind me a lot of like that iteration of Mass Effect planets, like bars. They're playing like techno music and everybody's wearing weird outfits and there's aliens all over the place. And it gave me very like the aesthetic is very much like.
Well, that immediately comes out of, dude, that's Star Trek original series aesthetic, and that's the aesthetic from the movies in the 80s. I mean,
what do you think of all the costumes that they wore and like the weird
that was silly,
like the them pretending
Picard,
like
Picard with the pirate as a that was hilarious.
His eye patch, that was funny.
That could like that. I feel like that skated a line of like really bad, but like kind of funny. Like I lean on the side of like I liked it, but like it any more or any like worse, and it was gonna be like, okay, this is face.
It was a weird tonal shift.
I had exactly the same thought, Christopher.
It was a weird tonal shift because the show has not been about whimsy at all. It hasn't been. It hasn't been sort of.
They're trying to have fun in touch. This episode a little bit.
They do.
Bit.
It's a, but it was a weird, like...
In the most gruesome episode with the violent torture.
That's the point. It was jarring.
Yeah. Well, and then we get to the end of the episode, and we rescue Bruce Maddox. So he's back on the La Serena with crew.
Well, I want to before you get to the end. Okay, yeah. Continue your thought, but I have something in the middle of the episode that I want to talk about still.
Oh no, and I think in the terms of the tonal nature, how kind of all over the place this episode is.
Yeah.
The fact that Girardi murders Maddox.
Yeah,
like she lets him die.
Yeah,
she clearly has some pain, and she
story wise. Like it sounds like the Vulcan commander woman, Commander O, came and visited her, and we cut to black. She showed her something,
Romulan.
And we don't know
the Romulan.
She's Romulan pretending to be Vulcan.
Yeah,
and so
it doesn't seem like she's on a mission. That was a personal thing. That was right.
Yeah.
Maybe she's part of a different conspiracy, but.
She felt very betrayed by Maddox because they were clearly in love. They had a relationship.
But to the level that you actively kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I mean, we don't need to get into episode six right away, but like she is active, like from her response at episode six, she's torn up by it. She's never done this before. It's not done lightly, but she killed someone.
She's definitely traumatized.
She's traumatized by her act.
And I would say I've been a fan of the actor who plays Girardi for years. Allison Pill is great.
She's great.
She's been great in everything she's done. She was great in Treatment. She was in the second. She was a patient in Treatment in the second season. She was great on the Newsroom.
I was going to say she's my favorite. She up until that point, she was my favorite character.
She's still one of my favorite characters.
I don't like that she's murdering people.
Right.
Well, I mean,
I was with you up until the point where she kills the person that they're looking for.
The one character that I like was
Allison Pill. Clearly, she likes this role because it's there's a lot going on, and she gets to play, you know, a lot of what this doctor is going through. So I think she's doing a great job with the role.
Yeah, you know, no, I agree.
I
with
just
that.
Don't like She's, this dark Trek. I want my Trek to be fun. You gotta
disabuse yourself, dude. We're halfway through the season.
I know.
It's not the Trek.
More than halfway.
And it's not fun. It's so dreary.
You cannot describe Picard as the show as fun.
It's not fun.
It is not the rollicking adventure.
Let's
move on to, well, do you want to talk one more thing about, you said you had something to talk about.
One more thing in five, she goes to Free Cloud and Raffi finds her son.
Yeah.
And it's like that whole scene, dude. Like, I don't give a fuck about this character.
Yeah.
Like I was like, what is this thing? I wrote it down and I was like, dude, I just want this to be over. Like, what are you doing? Like, okay. Like drug addict.
They're processing. No, but I see. I don't have that reaction. I think it's in keeping with the themes of the show, which is all the characters that we have been introduced to and know are dealing with their own trauma.
Yeah.
Including Picard, and so I think it's an effective sort of way to communicate what Raffi's trauma is, and I think I like the fact that it's not like end of the universe, end of the earth. We got to save the earth, sort of trauma kind of stuff. I like the drama that's at the human level.
Yeah,
that's in the context of this universe. I like all of that.
We may be watching a story about this motley group of people who come together. And I mean, I hope that it ends in a hopeful way. I cause I think Trek at its very basis is a hopeful, you know, show, a hopeful universe. But we may be watching a group of people that are damaged and traumatized. And by going through all of this together, maybe they can hopefully heal each other or help each other with that. And if it's going that direction and it pays off well, I think that all of this will have been worth it.
I hope so.
I hope.
And then trans- Transitioning into six, Rafi continues to drink because of this encounter with her, and then she's just openly walking around the ship with a bottle of booze.
Yeah,
like
it's a little ham-fisted.
She definitely returns to some of her addictions, right?
Clearly
not dealing well with her experience with her son. Yeah.
So there's a few things that are really interesting to me about this episode. We see a young Soji. We're going into six now. So we see a young Soji who's having dreams about walking on our father doing something. And
memory of a young Soji.
Memory.
Yes.
Memory of a dream. And
or her subconscious dream, chewing on something.
Yes, right.
Right. Right. But like what's
the
weird
mental
is
image
like,
of her
she's an
as
android,
a child. Yeah.
So she was never a child. So like it's her.
Yeah, she starts to, Soji starts to discover the pieces are starting to come together in Soji's world of who she is.
I would have liked if this was sprinkled over a couple more episodes because honestly, her plot would was kind of not moving for the past couple episodes, like 4 and 5. Nothing happened with Soji besides going ice skating in the with the Romulan liar guy.
Narek with an N.
Narek. Fun.
And his abnormally attractive sister. She's
what's
a smoke show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's duplicitous and she is manipulative and she is focused and driven.
I don't want to skip to the end of this episode, but honestly, I'm so disappointed.
Actively creating sexual tension with her sibling.
Actively.
Yes.
Actively.
Creepy.
It's so weird and creepy.
She's got like incest thing. They're written that way or like they were directed that way or it's like, I don't really know because they're not like saying like, yeah, let's fuck. I want to fuck. Like, stop having sex with this synth lady and let's bang.
Yeah, I'm jealous that you're having sex with her. You should have sex with me. That's not what you're saying.
But they are implying it like a MF-er, and it's like, let me look at my notes here.
I'm gonna say this right now. My favorite thing about this episode is Picard's encounter with Hugh on the cube. So we get to the cube. Picard has figured out that Soji is there. We get to Picard's going to try to rescue her.
Not everybody hates freaking Picard.
Hugh and Picard have this bond. They're both former Borg. And I really love the interaction that Hugh has with Picard. And I love the place where Hugh is in his life. And we first encounter him in one episode of Next Gen.
He's the first real source of hope in the show.
Open and so warm and so caring. Like he has gone through the trauma of his life.
Yeah.
And it has put him in a place where he is the most compassionate version of himself.
Well, and he's trying.
And that's great to see.
Right. He's trying to like help other Borg not be like get to where he is. Like,
well, and he's openly embraces Picard and like wants to help him on his quest. He doesn't need.
They helped him. They saved his life and got him to this point. It's so great.
That is my favorite part of this episode is Hugh and the actor who plays him, Jonathan Del Orso or Orko, or I forget exactly how to pronounce his last name, but he's really good as Hugh, and Hugh is, and his interactions with Picard in this episode are great. That part of it I really enjoyed.
Yep. Those are some of my favorite moments of the whole show so far.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Picard is definitely experiencing trauma. PTSD is flaring for him when he gets onto the cube.
It's the most interesting part of this episode by far.
For sure. Yeah. And Hugh is there to say, hey, we're doing good stuff here.
Yeah.
And you were part of it.
Yep.
And you sort of planted the seed of all of that because you freed me kind of deal. So all of that is really good. Really good.
Yep. It is good stuff.
Why does Soji have paper photos in the future of her family?
Why not?
I think humans, obviously it's early on in our cycle of technological development, but it's the same impulse, and I think it will always remain an impulse the for human beings to have that tactile.
Yeah.
It's why we keep physical books. It's why mom prints out physical photos. It's why we hang things on the wall. I think there is probably we haven't evolved to the point where because we maintain our tactile sense that it's a trigger for memory.
Sure.
Just because everything can be digital,
doesn't mean it has to.
I think it's a human impulse. That's a great way to try and fake the fact that you're not human, right? In my mind, that remains.
Oh, you give them tangible objects. Yeah.
Because it triggers memory. Memory is triggered by smells, right? Sounds and touch.
This might be a little in the weeds, but why would you possess the device in the future that tells you how old something is?
She's a researcher, dude. It's part of her being a researcher on the cube.
Yeah, that was the dot that I didn't find that to be jarring in that she is a researcher. She's a scientist.
It's
mythology, right? I mean, it's like a weird sort of exo archaeology kind of thing.
If you tell me that that was a tricorder and it does other stuff, fine. Okay.
I mean, your knowledge of the world is tricorder just exists, and she's a scientist.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's probably right. Yeah.
I'm okay with it then. That is just okay. This thing is not that old.
It seemed like a little bit like
they wrote themselves into that, they wrote themselves there. And
what would a person do if you start to question the accuracy or reliability of the things around you? I think that's compulsion. And if you have an ability to scan shit, you're going to scan shit. I know I would do exactly that, right?
Yeah. I want more of that. I want is this more stuff of them real? On a planet scanning objects.
Yes.
And, hey, there's a lot of things you're not getting, dude. Dude, it's for real. I want space.
I like the uncertainty. I like the uncertainties. The uncertainty.
You got... I understand where you're coming from, bro, but I mean, literally, we're 6 episodes into this. You gotta try to ungrip.
No. I feel like I have to.
Keeps you from enjoying the show more. Though
I have to grip it more.
Yeah, I feel like it keeps you. You would enjoy the show more.
I know. My Star Trek nostalgia just wants Federation fun space romp with hopeful people that don't hate each other. That's what I want. I want science that solves problems.
It's not all fun
fights.
And games, though, because some people get dissolved in a black pile
of goo. I don't want to see someone doing
black pile of goo, dude. People
black
get dissolved.
Pile of goo.
But that was interesting because they had to beat him with their brains instead of they couldn't shoot him. The lasers did nothing.
Dude, technology saves the day in this episode. Hugh leads them into the center of the cube. He activates this space portal that the Borg simulated.
I have a problem with that too.
That is awesome.
Why do you have a problem with that?
The escape portal.
Do you want me to tell you why I have a problem with this?
Please tell us. We want to hear.
Our teleporter could take us anywhere in the universe. Why not beam us to the ship that's outside our Borg cube right now that we came in instead of leaving our compatriots behind?
Because it's not how it works, dude.
You can teleport anywhere. Teleport us to our ship.
I don't think that's
then just a danger on the ship. Guess
not what?
What
that device is.
Teleport
that device isn't teleport anywhere in the universe. Is that what Hugh said? I don't think that's what Hugh said.
Patrick, you're missing the... If you teleport them onto the ship, they're still on the ship right next to the Borg cube. They're in danger.
Run!
Send them as far away as possible.
Picard is leaving his team behind. He left them.
It is a weakness in the episode.
Dude, he got there, screwed everything up, got in trouble, and then dipped and left his team without him. They're just like, bye.
Well, I mean...
Teleport me to the ship.
No, because he is getting her out of harm's way.
So the fleet of Tal Shiar ships can attack the ship that they're on.
It said the crew that got him there is going to die from that fleet of Tal Shiar.
He's getting her out of harm's way.
Picard will not die with them.
She's the whole purpose, dude. The goods of the one.
That's right.
Outweigh the good of the many. You just watch Search for Spock, buddy.
The whole purpose is to get her safe.
It's a good thing he made that decision for them. So
she is unique. He's the captain. That's what he does.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
Wow.
Yes. I think that's a reasonable reaction, dude. It's a reasonable reaction.
I think you don't like it. So I don't like so the Romulan brother, we're kind of like, we're unsure if he's lying to his sister, the hot sister. We're unsure if he's actually in love with Soji. And then we get to this end where he's helping her like unlock her memories, right? And
the weird Romulan meditation room.
Weird Romulan meditation room.
Which is an interesting concept. And you walk that path and then there are
I think it is an interesting concept.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Other than the murder attempt at the end.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I do not like that, like the gray area of his whole arc turns out he actually is bad. Like he decides to kill Soji and leave her once he has the information he wants. This whole time, he's just an asshole who's using
her. He's been manipulating her and falling for her against his better judgment, but he made
a decision to murder her.
No, you see, I think it'd be the worst cliche. This is an assortment of cliche, right?
Yeah.
But I think it would be a worse cliche if it turns out that he's fallen in love.
Yeah.
And then they sort of he tries to help her or save her or goes against his sister. No, that's cliche. That is epic cliche. Terrible writing.
His entire life of a certain ethos, hating and wanting to destroy all synthetic life.
Undone by the fact that he's had a relationship with her.
It is very much so.
That is lazy writing.
It is very much lazy writing, but like honestly,
if they would have gone that route where he falls in love with her and changes the whole deal,
his whole arc is lazy writing. The whole thing that went on with her is like nothing happens for multiple episodes, and then
he's cultivating her as an asset, he knows more about her than she knows.
All right,
it would have been terrible. It would have been terrible if he had fallen in love. That is ultimate cliche, dude.
Ultimate cliche.
I wanted him to warble a little bit. I wanted
him to warble through the whole thing. Yes. He's been keeping his sister at arm's length for five episodes. She just wants to go in and then cut it out of her brain.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, clearly he's just going to murder her anyway.
Well, he got what he needed.
Yeah.
He figured out where the whole
world was an interesting reveal, right? I mean, that was an interesting sort of...
I hope the Google of the time, right?
You
could figure out exactly what that planet is.
Yep.
I hope the incest siblings are happy with each other. That's what I
mean, the Romulans, dude. They're weird as shit.
They're weird as shit. It's true.
Well, I predict right now that he's going to be this tormented. He's going to be tormented about his choice, and there's going to be ongoing conflict with his sister, and his sister's going to be like, "Oh yeah, that's great. You did great.
Let's bang.
Let's." He's like, "No, I can't do that.
Dude, no, I can't.
No, I can't. I'm in love.
There's gonna be a lot of like shoving murder. Away and like and
exactly. So can't hot. Do it." Murder. Sex.
There's gonna be a lot of soap opera.
Attempted murder sex.
Attempted murder.
Let's have attempted murder sex. This is the best.
Dude, we don't know. Romulans may mate siblings. You never know.
Totally. Incest may not be taboo.
They're Lannisters. The Romulans are totally.
Exactly. They could be if there is an equivalent in kind of the high fantasy world, the Lannisters are definitely the Romulans.
It's the new edgy. Yeah.
I mean, that moment in Game of Thrones when you see Jaime Lannister give it to his sister and you like were like, oh man, this show is not giving a fuck.
Yeah, like, it goes there.
It changed it, because it's like, oh,
I doubt. I doubt
that's his sister, dude.
I doubt they're going to get into that in Trek. I don't think there's going to be incest.
I think the Roddenberrys. I don't think the Roddenberrys who remain involved with the show would allow that.
No, doubtful.
You can't make the Romulans incestuous. You can't do it.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't think you can make anyone incestuous in Trek. That's just a line you can't cross.
That's probably right. Until we get to a planet where that's okay.
Until it's
not an issue.
So it looks like for the preview next week, we finally get to see Riker and Troy. I'm excited about that. I love
that's where that's why he chose the planet to go.
I chose the planet, but you go to your ship. Go to your ship and don't leave
the ship. Is still at risk. Yes. They are totally safe when they
do not go to the ship.
You don't go to the
get
ship.
Her, you get her as far away as possible.
Tactically, that's a bad decision.
Correct.
Yep.
She would remain seriously at risk. And so you get her as far
away from there as the device
allows you to do.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. Well, hopefully that whole
crew. See, that's the difference between Picard and Patrick Schmaltz.
Patrick Schmaltz never leaves his crew behind.
Oh my God.
I'll go on record. When I'm captain, I'll never leave you behind.
No.
You're never going to be captain.
Leaders make tough decisions.
I'm the captain now.
Leaders make tough decisions.
Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah. Picard is able to make that tough decision that you would never be able to make, Patrick.
Exactly.
You just don't measure.
That's why he's a living legend.
My mind is blown.
It should be blown.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Do you have two trivia questions for us?
No, I have one.
You better have two.
Okay, here we go.
We skipped a week.
Here's the first trivia question.
Whatever.
Let's go.
Here's the first trivia question for you. In the episode of Star Trek The Next Generation called Best of Both Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
Part two.
Uh-huh.
Picard has been assimilated into Locutus of Borg.
Ooh.
And the Borg cube continues its invasion of the Federation.
Yeah.
There is a climactic battle that the Federation loses.
Wolf 3.359.
359.
There you go. That was going to be my question. What system did it happen in? Good job.
Dude, and it's still in like this legendary status of 11,000 people dying or something.
Wolf 359.
Like yeah. Wolf 359. Because, like, Federation ships, they just like massacre
lots
hundreds
and
of
lots
ships.
One Borg cube.
Just wrecks everybody.
That ramps up the mystique of the Borg.
Yes, the mystique of the Borg. Considering... What's your second question?
Actually, that was my only question. I've only got one. I thought it was going to be harder. I thought that would stump you guys.
We crushed it. Patrick is riding
my coattails. I had it.
No. You chimed in after me, dude. I get credit in the show notes.
Fine, you got it.
I get credit. Yeah.
They do talk a lot about that in a little bit in Next Gen, but they talk a lot about it in Deep Space Nine because Sisko survives that battle. His wife gets killed, but he survives it.
You're right. I remember that now.
Yeah.
Huh.
If you want to help Andrew with his trivia,
please. He needs help.
He needs help. King of the North.
Send in interesting questions for him to turn into trivia or for us to discuss.
Send us Star Trek trivia. That would be so much fun.
Help him. It's not like he's a professional trivia person who hosts trivia.
He's terrible at his job. He's definitely terrible at the job he never had.
Yeah, yeah.
You should email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com. Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook. Brothersgeek.com.
We should talk briefly about High Republic. We should not let that pass without having a conversation.
We should. So for the people in the world who don't...
To add a curveball about that, but I think we need to talk about that briefly.
Yeah.
Okay, go for
Andrew.
It.
For the people in the world who may not be paying attention to Star Wars stuff as much as we are.
Whoa, that's not Star Trek. That's
Star
Wars.
Right? We do what we want around here.
Seriously. Oh,
okay. So Disney and Lucasfilm / Disney Publishing have announced that the new era of Star Trek, or excuse me, Star Wars, is going to take place mainly in print. They're going to do comics and novels and young adult novels set in an era of the Star Wars galaxy called the High Republic, which takes place several hundred years before the events of the rebellion.
Why would you be really excited about this, Andrew? Tell us why you...
A, it's more Star Wars stories, which I always want. I'm excited for them to get away from the Skywalker saga just to see what they can do and see what kind of different stories they can tell and different... Because it's still going to be Jedi stories. It's still going to be set in the framework of that galaxy. You're going to have Jedi. You're going to have the races we know. It's going to be hyperspace, and it's going to be, you know, all those kind of adventures of space opera.
Yeah.
So I'm hyped for that. And I always want more Star Wars stories. And I think that if any of these particular stories like catch on, like there's a particular hero that stands out, the idea in my mind at least would be that Disney would think about, oh, there's this great story that's evolved with this Jedi from the High Republic. Maybe we give this person a movie to see what they would look like on the big screen. Because for me, Star Wars always exists in the big screen theater. That is the mainline Star Wars that I want exists in the movie theater. And that's where Star Wars always is for me. So
I'm saying this right now with the Brothers Geek, with this podcast, like when the first book comes out, we all got to read it.
Hell yes.
Well, and I tweeted about this and my love for Star Wars started when I was a kid watching the movies on VHS, and I watched them out of order. I watched Return of the Jedi long before I watched A New Hope. So, it's kind of started there, but when the Del Rey original novels set after Return of the Jedi came out, where it's now called the Extended Universe, I read dozens of those stupid novels.
Well, that's what I was trying to lead the question to. Was like, why would you care? Is because I know that you read. I read so many of those.
That's where my fandom really came from.
They call that like extended.
Extended universe. It's called the Legends universe now.
The Legends universe. Yeah.
Not canon at all anymore.
And honestly, that's where a lot of the toxic fandom comes from with the sequel trilogy.
A lot of
because they had expectations of what they wanted for Luke and Han and Leia.
Right.
And none of that happens.
Luke is a badass in those
books.
He
has multiple books where he saves the galaxy multiple times over. He's a superhero.
This is why. Since nobody asked me, this is why I'm excited for High Republic, because it's set during a time where the Jedi are freaking badass. It's peak Jedi.
It's not even the prequel trilogy where the Jedi are definitely in decline.
Right. It is. Yeah. This is the time period where the Jedi are enforcing shit and solving problems and kicking ass everywhere.
I want to
see more Jedi badassness. That's what I want to see.
I wasn't that excited about this until you guys just like told me how awesome this is going to be. I'm excited about extended universe Star Wars. Extended universe Star Wars in this different time with like Jedi running around like dealing with weird stuff.
Yes.
I love that. So
I mean, Jedi thrown into the mix of weird challenges where they have to use the Force and use their training and lightsaber shit, and you know, new and different stuff. I love the universe. I want all of that, and that I'm tired of, and I do not want any more Skywalker stuff. I'm just done.
I mean, I would love to see more Rey stories.
I would love to see more Rey. But anyway, I want to see more Rey stuff. I absolutely do. But I need different flavor of this universe with more Star Wars awesomeness. So.
Yep.
Well, and they can go a little. I mean, I doubt they'll go adult. But
when are we gonna play Battlefront? When are we playing Battlefront together?
Whatever.
I got it downloaded on my computer. I played some yesterday.
Did you see they announced for co-op the new Age of Rebellion? Age of Rebellion. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah, you can play.
Yeah, dude,
and weekends are triple XP. So if we play on weekends, we can level stuff up.
We should play super fast tonight. Let's play tonight.
Let's play tonight.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Play some co-op tonight.
Awesome. Anyway, follow us for more info on High Republic because we'll be all over it.
Brothers_Geek, we're definitely going to be on it. Follow us and Spotify and iTunes for podcasting.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.